Good morning. My name is Sandy Burton, and the scripture this morning comes from Philippians 1, 12 through 26. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice. And I will continue to rejoice. For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so that I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he is doing through me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Is there a circumstance that you are in right now and you don't really know how to handle it? Is there a situation that you are in that you wish there was some sort of wisdom you knew how to handle it, that somebody could just tell you, do this, and it would be over? Or maybe there's a hurricane coming your way, and you just don't know where the cone's going to go, and you're sitting here like, have I got my hurricane preparedness kitness ready? Maybe there's a situation that you're in, and you think, this is just trash. This is absolute garbage. Or as my friend of 30 years would say, in a dire circumstances, when things are really bad, it's a bit rubbish, isn't it? It's a bit rubbish. It's week 3 of our series. My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. It's week 3 of our series, Rubbish. And we are talking about some of the things that Paul talked about in the book of Philippians, that when he referenced them and referred them to his relationship with Christ, in chapter 3, verse 8, he said, I consider everything rubbish compared to what I now have in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he was in a bit of a rubbish situation. You ever been in a rubbish situation? You've been in some circumstances and that you think, this is just trash. Or there's something that you can never really forget that impacted your life, that embedded in your life and this situation and circumstance. For those of you who don't know, I was in the Navy for 14 years. And I spent a lot of time at sea. And if you put 270 people inside a floating tin can, fill it with explosives and people and situations, you can bet there's something going to go on there, some circumstances that are rubbish. What I remember the most is that when you put all those people together, there's a lot of trash. There's a lot of garbage hanging around. There's a lot of rubbish. In fact, in the Royal Navy, it wasn't called trash or garbage. In fact, you put those two words together and you called it gash. That's your new word for today, gash. And when all the gash was getting together, when I first joined the Navy back in 1989, when it piled up, we put it in these fancy bags, waterproof bags, and then we'd throw them over the side. As long as we were 12 miles from land, we'd just throw it over the side. Just trash. Yeah, sure. And you'd see the bags floating as you went by. And after a while, some of you are like, whoa, that's not good. And after a while, somebody, maybe in Greenpeace, somebody, environmentalists, said, that's probably not a good idea. All of the shores of the United Kingdom are full of your trash. All of the shores of the different places around the world have got garbage on them from your ship. And finally, a great command came down from on high from the second sea lord. And he said, well, we probably shouldn't be throwing our trash overside anymore. And we should keep it on the ship. You can imagine somebody saying that, right? And so then they started to pay sailors a lot of money. They started to pay sailors a lot of money to set the trash on fire that we could. We had a place where you could do that, a combustion unit, or we'd pack it, and we'd compact it, and we'd recycle everything, and we'd keep it on the ship. But not everything recycles, right? And so all the trash from food and from things that couldn't combust or couldn't compact down, we'd put it under a net at the end of the ship. We put it under the big cargo net, and we'd try and seal it up properly in these fancy bags, and we'd sling it under a net at the end of the ship, under the flight deck. And depending how long we've been at sea for, depending what situation we're in, what circumstances, what sea state, and what weather conditions they're in, would depend on how much of that trash would stay in the net. You can imagine, if you will, some of the food and the waste just being all over the deck and the ship, depending on how long you've been at sea for. And by the way, whose responsibility is that gash, that trash? Everybody's. Everyone. So when the ship came alongside, it was really important that we got this trash, this gash, off the ship. And before anybody could do anything, before you could see your family, before you could get off the ship, the ship had hit the wall. We put the ropes out. We put the electronics out. We put everything out you need to communicate. And then they'd say this almighty announcement. A great pipe would come over the ship. Out all gash. Out all gash. And everybody on the ship, even the captain sometimes would put his coveralls on. And they would make sure they'd form an enormous line from the end of the ship all the way to the jetty, and they'd pass the trash, pass the gash off the ship. Sometimes you get it all over you, it's really gross. Juice and everything. But at the end of it, all the trash was off the ship. All of the garbage was off, all of the rubbish was off the ship, and finally, we could now go see our families, and the ship was nice and clean, and the captain was happy for a short amount of time. I'll never forget that situation. That situation was garbage. That situation was rubbish. As my friend would say, it's a bit rubbish, isn't it? Well, the Apostle Paul, whom we are studying today, is in a bit of a garbage situation. In fact, if you looked at what was going on, you just say, it was trash. He was in a particular situation by our standards. Paul, a great communicator, took the message around the Mediterranean. By our standards in the West, we would have lifted him up to a great big high platform and we'd all be listening to him. We put him in a great big church and was like, wow, Paul, you've got a great message. And we'd lift this guy up. We'd give him his own podcast. We'd give him a load of downloads on his podcast. We'd make sure that he had a million followers on Instagram and all the other social medias. But where was Paul when he had evangelized all the Mediterranean? Locked up in jail. Locked up for communicating the gospel. In fact, he was locked up in Rome. He'd gone to Palestine to ask that he would have a good trial, and he couldn't get one. So he told the Romans, by the way, I'm a Roman citizen. I need to be tried by Rome. And Rome was kind of like, oh no, we forgot you're a Roman. Come over here, come to Rome, and we'll try you over here, and we'll lock you up. And so he was locked up in Rome. And that's where we are today. We're still in the first chapter of Philippians. We're going through it for the next few weeks, but we're still in the first chapter of Philippians as we get to verse 12. And if you've got your Bible with you, open it. If you've got it on your phone, flick that thing open, go to Philippians 1, 12 is where we are for our word today. So this is we're still in Paul's letter to Philippi. Philippi is the place where he's writing to. And he says, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the gospel and the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ and because of my imprisonment. Most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. We're going to stop right there. Something is going on. He says, even though everything has happened, even though my circumstances and my situation seem like trash, seem rubbish to you, I want to tell you what's happened, he says. It's actually done what? Helped spread the good news. He's in jail, locked up. Actually, Paul is locked up in Rome, but he's kind of under this house arrest. He's under this house arrest, and he's in this place with the Praetorian Guard, the well-trained soldiers that Augustus trained. In fact, he chose 10,000 soldiers, special Roman army soldiers, so that they would take care of these special operations. So like they were special ops soldiers. And they were assigned to this special task of making sure Paul sat still and didn't go around preaching the gospel. How dare he? He was on trial and he was in chains. Now, being a Praetorian Guard or the Palace Guard had some perks to it. Normally, you would serve 12 or 16 years. And at the end of that time, you would receive $270. Woohoo! And you would also become a Roman citizen. It was a very good thing to become a Roman citizen. A lot of perks that went with it. It's like working at Busch Gardens and actually going to Busch Gardens and the weekends and, you know, going to Universal Studios. You get it. Anyway, so these Praetorian Guards, they were really important. The Palace Guards, they were really important that those people made sure that Paul stayed, and he was in chains. And because of his time in jail, people are being set afire. They were excited by Paul's zeal. They were excited by Paul's commitment to sharing the gospel, even though he was locked up under house arrest. He says, and the Philippians were going around, the people in the churches, the believers have gained confidence, and now they boldly speak God's message. So the Philippians were encouraged. So two things. Philippians were encouraged. And what of the palace guard? Think about it. Try imagine yourself locked to somebody else for 2 years in chains. So literally locked to somebody else in chains. You could walk around. The Philippians could come and support him. They could pray for him, pray with him. They could give him food and give him funds, which they were doing. The churches were making sure that Paul had food and had money. And they could visit with him. But you can imagine that if you were a Praetorian Guard and you were sitting next to that the whole time, The palace guard heard everything that Paul was saying to the Philippians as he was encouraging them, exhorting them, as he was teaching them the scriptures, as he was praying for them and preaching and proclaiming who Jesus was. Do you think the guards heard this message? And Paul says, actually, in another version, he says, actually, my situation and my circumstance has some really good things coming out of it. If you can imagine, there was a guard assigned to him every day for 2 years. So that's a guard a day. That's what? 700 and, you do the math, 2 times 356, what is it? 712 different guards got to sit next to this guy and hear the gospel firsthand. He says some of these people, some of these Roman guards, some of these special ops guards, instead of waiting for the $270, instead of waiting to get a Roman citizenship, they decided to follow Jesus. They decided to follow Jesus, and instead of calling Caesar their Lord, who are they calling his Lord? Jesus. Instead of saying Caesar is Lord, which you had to if you're a Roman guard, you say that Jesus is their Lord. So Paul says, actually, this circumstance, this situation, this kind of state of affairs right now looks a bit trash to you, looks garbage, looks a little bit rubbish, but actually, something good is happening. Still seems a bit rubbish to me. Verse 15, he says, it's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I've been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But it doesn't matter whether their motives are false or genuine. The message about Christ is being preached either way. So I rejoice. I will continue to rejoice. Paul hears that others are preaching as well. Paul hears that others are preaching the gospel out of envy and malice. Paul hears that people are trying to like up his game or make his pain worse by saying, oh, Paul's obviously preaching a worse message. Other preachers are saying things against him or trying to one-up him. But that was back then. That was back in Roman times when things were antiquated. We don't have any preachers in Tampa Bay and the Tampa Bay area that exalt themselves or say bad things about other preachers, right? Even though people were saying things out of envy and strife and malice toward him, even though they were saying things that went in line with the gospel, in line with being somebody who followed Jesus, Paul's like, I don't care. I don't mind. As long as Christ is being preached, as long as the gospel is coming across, I'm in chains. I know who I am. I know that this is fine right here. But if he was attacking the church, if they were attacking the church, then that would have been a different story. Paul would have been like, hey, don't do that. But perhaps in the most humble of places in the entire New Testament, Paul understands not to exalt himself. Paul understands what's really important. Paul understands that to exalt himself is not the way of Christ, but to exalt the church and to exalt Christ. And I think Paul knew not to compare himself. I think Paul knew that the comparison trap was going to like freak him out and not do him good. I think Paul knew the great quote from Craig Rochelle really well. Comparison to others can either make you feel inferior to other people or superior to other people. Neither honors God. I'll say it again. Comparison can either make you feel inferior to other people or superior to other people. Neither honors God. Amen? We should compare, as Paul did, our lives to Christ and how we are living our Christ-like life out in and amongst the people we are with. And I think Paul knew that, and he says, I rejoice. Why, Paul? Why do you rejoice? Paul, guess what? Cat 5 hurricane is coming right towards you. People are going to freak out at you, and you are sitting in the eye of the storm, and you're saying, ah, it's good, I rejoice. Why are you rejoicing, Paul? Here's what he says. Verse 19, for I know as you pray for me, and the Spirit of Jesus helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between the two. I long to be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it's better that I now continue to live. Knowing this, I'm convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because what he is doing through me. He's rejoicing. He's rejoicing because he knows the hope. He knows the hope of Jesus Christ. He knows that he will never be ashamed of what he stands for. And that's his greatest desire, that even in and amongst the circumstances, that he would not be ashamed of Christ. There's some circumstances that we have that we can't control. We can't control the leaders of our country. We can't control what goes on in and around in our country. You can pray for them, and if you want to get actively involved in politics and policies, go ahead and do it. But if you don't agree with the leader, if you don't agree with the circumstances that your leader's coming on, pray for them. Get involved. Circumstances around us that we can't control. There's some circumstances in and around our churches, in and around all the churches across the nation, in and around denominations, in and around our denomination. There's circumstances out of our control. Pray for your leaders. I know you pray for me, amen? Pray for your church leaders. Get involved in a Christ-like manner, amen? Love people. Be able to debate together without killing one another on social media. Circumstances, situations, states of affairs. Some of them, even in our families, we can't control. Some of them that are going on in this whole family right here that we can't control, that we'd love to be able to control. I don't know all of your situations and your family life, but it's important that we bring our circumstances and our situations before the Lord like Paul did. God, what am I going to do with this? How am I going to serve you in this situation? Who's the palace guard that you're chained to that you need to share the message with? You're with them anyway. You're sitting right next to them. Who am I gonna help understand this gospel message in this situation that I am in? What is it that I can be a part of? And it's not like we can just say about our situations, and I'm not saying this, oh, just pray them away, they'll go away another day. And it's not like we can say a special prayer and it just, pop, goes away. Sure, our circumstances are before us, and we can pray in and amongst them. We can't just ignore them and say, oh, I'm rejoicing. It's all good. I'm rejoicing. Paul says rejoice, I'm rejoicing. It's how we can be in and amongst our situations and our circumstances and the trash that surrounds us. How can we be in those things and still share the gospel and still be a voice of hope? Paul says early on in the scripture, he says, actually, in another version of this scripture, he says, actually, something good is happening. Maybe the circumstance you're in right now and the situation that you're in, maybe the thing that you're really concerned about that you brought in with you when you came in today, maybe you could think about something that, like, actually, this is happening. Actually, because we all took the trash off the ship, it doesn't smell anymore. Actually, in this circumstance, I get to communicate to the Praetorian God who might never hear the gospel. These 712 people. Actually, some of these people, because I'm locked up, are hearing the gospel. Actually, something is happening. In fact, they are calling instead of worrying about their $270 they're going to get at the end of their 12 or 16 years, instead of worrying about whether they're finally going to get Roman citizenship. They're no longer calling Caesar their Lord. They're calling Jesus their Lord. And we want that, amen? Caesar is not our Lord, amen? King Charles is not my Lord, amen? The President of the United States is not your Lord, amen? Jesus is Lord, amen? Jesus is Lord of our lives. And the Praetorian God knew that. The Praetorian God knew that, and they were so excited to hear Paul's message. In verse 25, it says this. Verse 25, I want to highlight this to you. He says, I'm convicted that I'll remain alive so I can continue to help you, help all of you grow and experience the joy of our faith. So instead of dying, he decides to stick around. And that word there, continue, is paramenein. The Greek for that word is paramenein. And it means stay alongside you, just like Victoria and Anthony pledged. I'm going to stay alongside you. I'm going to stay alongside your parents. I'm going to stay alongside Wesley. And I'm going to be with you in and amongst your circumstances. Amen? You're going to be in and amongst everything, all the situations that go on. Of course, baptism day is great. You know, we're all excited about that. But there's going to be a whole other load of circumstances. Amen? And that word there that Paul says, I am going to stay alongside you. No matter what trashy circumstances you're in, no matter what garbage or gas you have to get rid of, no matter what rubbish is in and amongst in your life, I am going to stay alongside you. That's what church is about, folks. That's what church is about. Church is a place, the house of God, is a place where we can come alongside. We can be with you in and amongst your circumstances and situations. Church is a place. Paul understands this real well. Baptism family understands that real well. They're all here today supporting alongside you, no matter what the circumstances. And you might be in some rubbish situations. You might be in some circumstances that you can't control. You might be in amongst a set of affairs that you just don't like right now. But when Jesus is with us, alongside us, we can handle the rubbish circumstances. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful situation of baptism today. And we rejoice over that. But I pray, Lord God, about the circumstances in our lives that we think they're just rubbish and trash and garbage, Lord. And we pray, Lord God, that you would be alongside us as we go through these circumstances. Thank you, Lord God, for the church that has been alongside me throughout all my life. Thank you, Lord, that in and amongst the craziness of church, you are alongside us. And we pray, Lord God, that we would continue to look to you for that. And we ask for this in the power of your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.